It's a time in Spain where we talk to Blevins Frank senior partner Chris McCann. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm very well, Howard. And yourself?
I am. Thank you very much. Well, inflation is back in the news and also making its presence felt in both the UK and Spain. So today we'll look at what's been happening and why, and how we can protect our savings from the rising cost of living. So many of our listeners will have seen the headlines in the UK about how inflation is the biggest increase since records began. Can you explain how inflation is measured in the UK and what the current rate is?
Well, simply put, inflation is the rate at which prices are rising. For example, if a jar of jam costing €5 rises by 25 cents, then jam inflation is 5%. It applies to services too, like having your hair cut or getting your car valeted. Whilst you may not notice small, low month-to-month increases, over the long term, these cumulative price rises can have a big impact on how much you can buy with your money. As regards how it's measured, the Office for National Statistics monitor the prices of thousands of everyday items, which is known as the basket of goods. It's constantly updated to reflect what people are spending their money on. For example, this year they added hand sanitizer, smartwatches, and exercise equipment after lockdown changed many people's spending habits. More weight is given to items that we spend more money on, so changes in the price of items such as petrol will have a greater impact on the headline rate of inflation than, say, a jar of jam. The Office for National Statistics releases its measure of inflation each month, showing how much prices have risen since the same date last year, and it's known as the Consumer Prices Index, or CPI. Before the pandemic hit, UK inflation was around 2%, the rate the Bank of England aims for. However, as with everything else, COVID has played havoc with headline inflation figures. For most of the last year, prices have been rising at a rate of less than 1% a year. But in August, it jumped by 3.2%, its highest level since 2012, and the fastest rise in 1 month than at any time since the Bank of England gained independence to set interest rates.
What caused the jump, and do you think it's temporary, or will UK inflation keep climbing?
Well, it's not clear whether this rise is part of a new trend, because these aren't exactly normal times. Over the past year, we haven't been spending money on cocktails, package holidays, or train tickets. Instead, we spent a lot more on groceries and streaming subscriptions. As the basket of goods didn't reflect these changes until very recently, last year's low inflation may have been off the mark, and this year's higher inflation could just be a correction. On the other hand, with the Bank of England already expecting inflation to rise to 4% by the end of the year, the rapid acceleration will come as a shock. It follows strong labour market data, suggesting the economy is running hotter than many economists thought. Gas and electricity bills are set to increase sharply this autumn, reflecting rises in wholesale prices, while value-added tax will rise back to 12.5% for the hospitality sector at the end of this month, and food and clothing prices are also expected to jump in the autumn. Economists are split on whether inflation will become a significant problem in the months ahead or disappear after largely one-off price rises, as the economy opens up after the COVID shock. Some say years of low inflation have made us complacent. They warn that the government's measures to combat coronavirus, the huge amounts of borrowing and spending that have been needed just to stop the economy collapsing, could lead to dangerous levels of inflation. Others say there isn't really any underlying cause for concern. Inflation was low before the pandemic, and they don't believe that will fundamentally change once life returns a bit more to normal.
And what about here in Spain? It feels like the cost of living is going up, but what is the current rate, and how does this compare to a year ago?
Well, as in the UK, in recent months, inflation has rebounded significantly, both in Spain and in most of the surrounding economies. According to the latest data published for the month of August, headline inflation in Spain increased for the sixth consecutive month to stand at 3.3% in year-on-year terms, the highest rate since October 2012. Inflation in the Eurozone jumped to a 10-year high of 3% in August, having already increased to 1.9% in June and to 2.2% in July. The rate was the highest in the Eurozone since the end of 2011, exceeding the central bank's target of 2%. This was mostly the result of a rise in fuel prices. In August, the energy sector recorded the highest annual increase at 15.4%.
Again, Chris, could this be temporary, or would we start to find our income doesn't go as far?
Again, as in the UK, opinions are divided. Both the Bank of Spain and the European Central Bank believe that the recent rebound in inflation is transitory, whilst others suggest that inflation pressures may persist.
Do you have any advice on how people could protect their savings and retirement income from inflation?
Well, in general, if you want the returns on your savings to outstrip inflation, you need to invest in assets that have historically generated returns that have been in excess of inflation. Given that bank accounts, government bonds, and to a lesser extent, corporate bonds can be hit hard by inflation, your investment portfolio needs to comprise some exposure to equities and real assets. Looking at some recent data from the UK Office for National Statistics over a 30-year period, from April 1991 to April this year, a typical basket of goods costing £100 in 1991 would now cost around £226, a rise of 126%, or an annual rise of around 4.2%. Over the same period, a £100 investment in the FTSE 100, a basket of the 100 largest UK companies, would now be worth £836, a rise of 736%, or an annual return of 24.5%.
The difference is remarkable, is it not?
It is, and it's very shocking when you realise kind of how far the markets have come in over that period.
When you hear the hard numbers.
You do, and you kind of stop and kind of question if they're actually right.
I hesitated when I heard it. So anyway, Chris, what are the chances now that the Bank of England and the European Central Bank will finally raise interest rates, given what we've just heard?
Well, we're currently moving in an environment where the unusual combination of recovery and massive liquidity injections keep markets away from the usual valuation standards or traditional behaviours in this phase of the economic cycle. Now that the economy seems to be on the right track, the question is when and how to withdraw this massive aid without disrupting growth and, above all, without creating market shocks. It's certain that the US Federal Reserve has changed course in terms of its monetary policy and has become clearly dependent on future economic data. If inflation is temporary, then the economic data will tell us. And if not, the Fed has the means and tools to act and adapt its monetary policy. The European Central Bank, for its part, remains very accommodative and seems less pressed by the markets to change its monetary policy. However, if the Federal Reserve acts, it will undoubtedly have to start revising its own monetary policy. As regards to the UK, The Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee is likely to be as divided as the economic community. However, as we head into 2022, evidence of more persistent supply-demand imbalances and rising wage pressures could translate to stickier inflation, which could lead to the MPC potentially pushing the button on rate hikes.
Could inflation concerns have an impact also on investment performance, like equity and bond prices?
The relationship between inflation expectations and bond prices tends to be simple in that they behave in an inverse manner. In other words, higher inflation expectations result in higher interest rate expectations, which tends to result in lower bond prices, and vice versa. So, in the current climate, with historically low interest rates, any increase in inflation expectations is likely to lead to lower bond prices. Hence, what is typically seen as a lower risk asset may not act as such. As regards stock or equity prices, unfortunately, the relationship with inflation is not so straightforward, and there is no catch-all rule that can be applied. In the short term, the relationship is also normally inverse, in that as inflation rises, stock prices fall, and as inflation falls, stock prices rise. However, over the short term, other factors also have a significant impact, and so the relationship is not always clear. However, with stock or equity prices over the longer term, after a period of adjustment, they typically act as a hedge against inflation or protection from inflation. In other words, the value of a well-diversified portfolio of stocks tends to rise by significantly more than inflation, as per the previous example. The reason for this is that in response to a period of inflation, businesses adapt and will increase their own prices, which results in increased revenues and a return to normal profit levels. In other words, higher costs are simply passed on to consumers.
So what's your advice to investors right now?
What we suggest is that listeners look at their overall financial affairs and ask themselves if they are confident that they are fit for purpose. As part of that review, we would also ask them to consider if they're confident that their investment portfolios are suitably structured to provide protection from all potential future threats, such as the very damaging effects of higher inflation. Ideally, we would suggest that listeners invest an hour or so of their time with a Blevins Franks partner who can look at their affairs and then help to ensure that they are suitably structured.
And the website is the first port of call to find your local partner.
It is. Listeners can visit blevinsfranks.com. They will be able to access all the contact details for all the local partners. They'll also be able to, if they prefer, complete a contact form. And then upon receipt, somebody from Blevins Franks will be in touch to arrange the most suitable next step.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. We'll talk again in a fortnight.
Thank you very much, Howard. Look forward to it. Bye for now.